KBOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM live and local. A pleasant Wednesday morning to you. I'm Scott Hayes. It is 10:07.
KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local, present the on-air chat. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Souter and Aaron Harter.
Welcome to the on-air chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. Steve Souter, Aaron Harter hosting, and we're spotlighting ESU track and field, Steve.
That we are, and we have three guests. Billy Ukrzynko, is that close?
Did pretty good. I'm impressed.
Of course, he's with the foundation, and we're going to get back to these guys. We're going to introduce them right now. Steve Blocker, of course, who needs little introduction. He's the head track coach. How many years now, Steve?
Oh, man, I'm losing track. I think this is year 10, I want to say.
So, wow.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, we're sitting here trying to figure out how many track coaches. And Portland State hasn't had a lot of track coaches, so it must be a good job.
I would agree. Yeah, I
love
it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then Mark Majors is with us. And Mark, it says he's a track alum, but he seems to be a little bit more than that. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You live in the Lawrence area, right?
Live just north of there in a town called Meriden.
Okay.
Yep.
And we'll visit with Mark. I'm going to do the obligatory. This is our intro that was provided by the foundation, and I think it's good. And the history of track and field cross country at Emporia State University is a rich and colorful one. Athletes from Emporia State have set national and world records, won national championships, and attained numerous All-American honors. ESU athletes have participated in the Olympic Games, and one emerged as an Olympic champion. The coaches at ESU have also been honored with induction in the National Track and Field Hall of Fame and have helped coach United States Olympic teams and international teams. Emporia State University has established legendary tradition of team and individual excellence. ESU's legendary program began in 1902. And with the exception of 2 years during World War II, has continued for over 110 years. ESU has won one national track and field championship, winning in the 1964 NAIA National Outdoor Track and Field, to go along with five national cross-country titles. And Mark and I remember those because they were – and I remember because those were all in the 60s. And ESU has had an amazing 8 different athletes set world records, plus a distance medley relay team that set a world record. John Cuck, a Hornet in the 20s, won a gold medal in the shot put at the 28 Olympics. Archie San Romani, who grew up in Emporia, competed in the 1936 Olympic Games. That would have been cool to be there in 1936 because that was
Jesse Owens.
Yeah, that was a Jesse Owens thing with Hitler and all that.
Yep.
So Archie San Romani was at the 36 Olympic Games while still competing for Emporia State, and he finished fourth. I assume that was fourth in the mile. Wasn't that his specialty?
I believe so, yeah.
They don't run the mile anymore. But after his career at Emporia State, Alan Feuerbach had a fourth and fifth place finish in the 72 and 76 Olympics. The ESU men have won an outstanding 39 individual national championships. Kathy Devine, who's a gal, set a collegiate and American record in the shot put, throwing for the Lady Hornets. And ESU women have won an amazing 21 national championships. And today, the tradition continues. No problem, Steve. Just keep it going, huh?
Love it. Yeah. Sounds easy enough, right? You know, and it's a blessing to be here. So, I mean, it's fun, and you get to oversee it and get to meet great people like all of you guys. So
before we do your background, do a little bio on you, do you have any ESU athletes or former athletes in the Olympic trials? Olympic trials are coming up this week, aren't they?
They are, yeah. And, you know, we don't. I wish we did. You know, we thought we might have had a shot. We had a really special young man, Tayshawn Goodwin. You probably heard his name a number of times. And You know, I like to think most of the coaching decisions I make are correct. But, you know, we probably did things – you look back and you live and learn. But he got banged up at the beginning of this outdoor season and felt like we were on a good path. But getting to the trials is a lot of talent and a lot of circumstances. And,
well, Duke was working towards it.
He was.
He's still training. And
yeah, I think he's still training. You know, we've been – again, it's just been a real blessing to have some really special guys in that 400-meter range lately, and they're a fun group to work with.
And who is the hurdler that's got kids?
Yeah, Andrew Etheridge.
Yeah.
He won the national title back in 2011, and I think he was All-America for us 8 times, and he holds 2 school records.
And he made an effort, didn't need to try to...
He did. He was good. He ran, sub-14 in the 110 hurdles, and, not quite good enough, but we've had a few athletes in the past 10, 11 years that have come close to that U.S. champs.
But Etheridge has, I think, a son that's about 10 or 11 years old that's killing it in football and track and basketball. And then his daughter just jumped into the fro.
Man, you're good, Steve. You're keeping up better than I am. Andrew's a special kid, and he's a great young man, and he's become a great father. And we remember when, my wife Erin was, changing his little son Aiden's diapers at practice, we have a lot of fond memories of that group. So, yeah, it's pretty fun.
Well, and your little guy. He'll be competing here. What did I see him with the golf club or something?
We take him anywhere and everywhere, maybe some places we probably shouldn't. I don't know. he's out at practice and he loves being around all of our athletes. And he's a fun little
Matthew,
fella.
Matthew,
yeah, great, great memory. Yeah.
I the picture this week, there was a picture of him with his head bowed and his hands folded.
Really?
On Facebook. Yeah, you ought to follow him.
You're good.
He's got a great page.
Hey, all right. I appreciate it.
Well, Steve, you're the latest in a long line of we tried to make a list.
Yeah.
And we know Fran Welch, and we're not sure who followed Fran Welch. I know Phil Delavan was somewhere in there, but I don't know that he was directly behind Fran Welch. And Don Weiss, if he's listening, will probably fill in the blanks for us.
Yeah.
And then Mark Stambro.
Mark was in there, absolutely.
I don't know how many.
It was 12 years, I want to say. Yeah, 11 or 12.
And then Dave Harris, and of course Dave is pretty legendary.
Yep.
I mean, they've all got their got their deal, and Dave just announced his retirement. Which,
he did, yeah.
Which is interesting. So.
Yeah, I didn't know. I thought that guy was going to keep going on till the end of time.
Well, it's probably good for you, though, because you can hire him to come down here and be your announcer for the national tournament.
I don't know. I remember Harris telling me one time, Steve, when I retire, I would love – he wanted to drive a bus and go down to spring baseball camp or something along those lines. So he might be tough to pin down.
Yeah. I'll lay odds that he'll be here because that will be fun.
That would be, yeah.
When we do that. And, of course, then you and, what did we say, 12 years, huh?
Yeah.
Tell us about your path, because you're not an alum.
Nope. Ran at Northern Iowa, and I like to just believe, it's been, like I said, it's a blessing to have been brought here. Really, Coach Harris and his son, John David, he and I made a connection. We were both coaching in graduate school. He was at Wichita State. I was at Northern Iowa. And, one day I saw an opening, and I reached out to John David and said, hey, I thought maybe someday you'd take over for your dad. I knew his dad was a legend, he said, hey, I'm, going to make some changes, and my dad's looking for an assistant. Would you be interested? Maybe reach out to him. And so thank God I came here, and it's been fantastic. So a lot of similarities between my alma mater at Northern Iowa and Emporia State. So it's been
fun. You've been to a number of places. I mean, you 4 or 5 other places.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, the typical coaching path, you go wherever you need to go. And I'm originally from Southern California. My family's out there. And so Erin, my wife – she really got me my first paid job at Santa Barbara City College. And we coached out there for a year, and we had a great time out there, and then had opportunity to be a head coach at Culver Stockton College. I was just 27 years old, and they were, dumb enough to hire me, I guess. And so they were just starting a new program.
Well, that's way east in Missouri, isn't it?
Tiny little town of Canton, Missouri, but it's a great town, and we had another great experience there. Erin and I have been coaching together, and lo and behold, thank God we came here. So
I've got a personal story about Canton, Missouri. My wife and I flew to watch my middle son play football there.
Yeah, you're kidding.
And the wind, because he went to Baker.
Oh, yeah.
And Culver Stockton and Baker in the same conference.
Yep.
And we flew in there, and as we were getting ready to land, there was a terrific crosswind.
Okay.
And the pilot said, when we stop, you're out that door and grab the end of the wing and hold it down. And literally, if I hadn't, it would have flipped us over because there was about a 30-mile-an-hour crosswind.
That's unbelievable.
So wow. I'll never forget Canton.
There you go. Yeah.
It's a long ways over there too.
It is a little distance, but it was a great stop for us. And I'd say your flight story there is probably similar to my coaching experience there. We're holding on, you know, so
hold the wing. There we go, Billy Ukrainenko. How'd you get to Emporia State?
Well, I've been here almost 4 years now. September will be 4 years. I grew up in Clay Center, Kansas, first generation kid, and always loved athletics, although I didn't know the whole process of higher education and just went with what was close, a purple school not too far away from Clay Center, and then went off to grad school in Texas at Sam Houston State. Had the opportunity to have a grad assistantship there. I was doing operations and logistics for athletics in the university. Always loved athletics, trying to find my way into it and make an impact in that sort of manner, and got done with grad school and was working there full-time for several years, handling a lot of different things, and opportunity came about at Emporia State. I knew I wanted to get into development, been researching, you know, the ins and outs and how I can make a deeper impact a lot of different ways. In September of 17, I had the opportunity to come here, and initially when I started, it was leadership gifts and a little bit of everything across the campus, academics, athletics. It was a new position at the time, and it's recently pivoted to more athletics and make an impact in those different ways. So it's been a fun ride. Parents still reside in Clay Center, Kansas. Brothers in Manhattan. So a little bit coming home, a little bit to take a career step too. So it's been great. I am.
Wow. Getting a little advertising here today.
I guess. I was not expecting that on live air, but.
And I will tell you that if you decide you ever want to leave what you're doing with those pipes, we give you a job in radio.
All right.
Now, you got a face that would be a little too good for radio.
I don't know. Santangelo tells me I have a great face for radio.
Oh, Santangelo. He's an old married guy, though.
So that's right.
That's him trying to give you a hard time.
That's right.
So you're on the fundraising side and get to work a lot with Steve?
Yes, sir. It's been a lot of fun. Initially when I was doing a lot of the academic aspects, I had the opportunity to step in and get to know Steve and, of course, Coach Stambro, who's just a walking historian of Emporia State, and getting ingrained with them. And we've done some incredible things here the past couple of years, and now we're Jason and I are doing a little bit of everything there, so we've taken more of a role to help out the specific teams, whether it's divvying up the programs and being there constantly. So we're in Hyper a couple times a week now too, and getting ingrained with the different programs there. So it's been a lot of fun.
All right. Well, it's good to be involved with track and field in Emporia State, as we've already highlighted quite a history. Let's turn our attention to Mark Majors. And Mark, I look at your bio here, the stuff that was provided to us. Of course, you were a student here from 88 to 92. I've circled four-time All-American. You're in the Hall of Honor. But I think three years in a row, you were the Student Athlete of the Year.
I was, yeah. Nobody else was enrolled. It was easier back then. So, but no, I was. Yeah, I was very fortunate.
You're a big guy, and went through the shot, and through the hammer, and through the weight throw, and all that.
We had to throw them all. We didn't have a really big squad, so.
So the javelin, too?
Threw the javelin, didn't like it. Threw the shot put, didn't like it. Threw the hammer, absolutely loved it. But you do what you have to do. You know, the team, track and field's kind of a unique animal, especially at the Division II level now. We get to compete against the best athletes in any conference. You know, when we would go out and we'd go compete at KU or at K-State or Nebraska and Wichita to go win at those meets, when you're at Emporia State, just carries a little bit of extra, oomph when you go
take
back
that
home.
Sucker.
Exactly. You know, hey, I went to Nebraska and beat them all, and you come back home and you're like, what are you wearing? I'm wearing my Nebraska championship T-shirt. And you're like, wow, They have track.
So how did you end up at Emporia State? Because it, as you've already shared with us, you didn't end up because they offered you a big scholarship.
No. I grew up in Stillwell. I went to Blue Valley High School back when we had one. I think they've got five. I was recruited to play football at Central Missouri, Northeast Missouri. I did campus visits there, and it just didn't click. It just wasn't something where I felt at home. My mom and dad were both C of E graduates. They came here from 60 to 64. Dad played football. And when I came down on a campus visit, my quarterback was coming down here to play baseball for Coach Embry. My best friend and I were going to room together at Morse Hall. And I decided to come walk on and play football. Just say, I'll give it a shot. I played for Steve Rampe at Blue Valley, you know, a legend in high school coaching and coached at Pittsburgh. And Steve Rampe and Coach Kramer might have been the most polar opposite types of coach ever put on. Rampe's an extraordinarily cerebral coach. Makes you think, makes you understand tactics. Larry would make you understand tactics. He would just do it at a really, really high volume and usually with a hand around your face mask. But you learn from the man. But it was injuries plagued my freshman year, and I just had to stop playing. I was 215. You know, I was a lineman at 215, and you can't play in this conference at that size, an interior line. So moved back to fullback and got banged up almost instantly. My body was – there was an old adage a coach told me once that some horses are born to run, others are born to push and pull, and you need to know which group you belong to pretty quickly. I figured that out about the third practice in. I was walking by the tunnels on the back – on the east side of the stadium, and Fred McClain, the Madison – you know, Hall of Fame coach and Hall of Fame football player here at Emporia State, was doing drills. And he said, "Hey, son, you ever see a discus?" I was like, "As a matter of fact, I have. Why don't you come out? Come out and play with us." And that was it. So Fred McClain, that was the recruiting.
Is all your freshman year?
All my freshman year. And it was a fall. It was a beautiful fall day. And we went out and threw the discus. And Coach McClain is just one of those guys that's magnetic, and you wanted to be around him. And I said, let's give this a whirl. I threw the discus in high school. I medaled in state when I was a senior. But, you know, Coach Stambro made it very clear, you know, we don't have deep pockets here. We don't have scholarships to give out. We'd love to have you on the team as a walk-on. And, you know, honestly, I was happy to compete. It was something to participate. And I really didn't understand what I was getting into, both from a commitment standpoint in terms of time and effort, but what I was joining in terms of a program. And Emporia State's program, the things you read off, you know, there's probably, I would say arguably, three programs in the entire country with a better throws history than Emporia State. And that'd be places like Oregon, UCLA, maybe Texas. And then Emporia State's history is right there in that top echelon. Had no idea at the time, but as I spent more time here, it became very evident that I'm part of something really, really special.
Absolutely. So where are you now?
I am just outside of Lawrence. When I was at Emporia State, I interned at Payless Shoes and the World Trade Center both. Went to go work at Payless in Topeka when I left college and got to see the world. I worked in logistics and packaging and moved to New York in 2002 and went to the city for a while and got married. We had our daughter out there, and my wife and I moved back to Meriden, Kansas in 2005. 2006, I started my own company, TDI Global Solutions, and we do packaging for very, very big consumer brands all over the world. I've been fortunate. I've traveled to 42 countries. We have operations in 7. We're opening a factory in Lawrence in September, manufacturing sustainable goods, products like cups and straws and paper plates and things that are all biodegradable and really kind of changing the way we focus on our business, and it kind of leads into our conversations about philanthropy here. We run our company with a different tack where we're focused on social responsibility, creating opportunities for the people that need them the most. Environmental stewardship and things like that, and we're just having a ball, just having absolutely the most fun I've ever had.
You're listening to Mark Majors, an alum. What year did you graduate?
1992,
an Emporia State graduate who has a track background, track resume that is very, very impressive. National medalist 3 years in a row? 3 or 4 years in a row?
At the Nationals, I was a five-time throws All-American and one time in the Strength and Conditioning Association here. And then I was voted the male athlete of the year for 3 years in a row.
Well, and we've shared, we talked off air, came here your first 2 years. You were a walk-on. You played for free, and then you got a little help. But
I was a walk-on All-American. And then I got help in my junior year. John Visser and his family had scholarships, and Coach Stambrough was able to get me books when I was a junior, which was – I was the happiest kid on campus, I tell you, because it felt like validation of, you know, knowing that we had no budget. And people that were at Emporia in the 80s and in the early 90s might remember we didn't have the resources we have at our disposal now. The track was absolutely abysmal. Commercial Street was a better surface to run on than the Emporia State track. I'm sure we had kids lost in the cracks that we never found. It was bad. And we had no implements to throw. We had to basically provide our own, you know, no shoe contracts. If you would tear a uniform, for example, you had to run it down to the cage inside the Hyper building, and there was a lady in there named Emmy, and she would stitch it back up for you. I mean, it was a very hands-on, kind of do-it-yourself type of environment back then, but it was great.
Good times, huh?
Good times. I wouldn't have traded a thing.
All right. We'll get back to you. And, Steve, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you, because that was a question I thought about your kids that compete. Do they buy their own shoes, or is the shoe contract good enough to provide shoes? So we'll deal with that when we return. This is the on-air chat. We're focusing on philanthropy at Emporia State through the Emporia State University Foundation. And Bruce Davis Construction makes it all possible. You're listening to KVOE. We are live and we are local.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot, to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis Construction will give you quality work. Bruce Davis Construction's proud to be involved in recent jobs, including the addition of Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendo, and the David Trailer Zoo. Bruce Davis Construction. Call 342-5001. Bruce Davis Construction.
14 KVOE is proud to bring you Feel Good Fridays.
It puts you in the best mood.
Share the good news. If you are tired of hearing all the bad stuff, let us know anything good we should all know about. Call 342-1400 or email kvoe@kvoe.com, and we will feature a story every Friday.
It makes you feel good.
14 KVOE, live. We want your good news and local.
Keeping you in touch, KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. It's time now for a check of local headlines being brought to you by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Still offering convenient carryout and curbside services. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, 607 Merchant, where it's all about the meat. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, here is Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Scott. Good morning, everybody. Traffic on West 12th Avenue at C of E Drive may not be back to normal for about a week, maybe longer than that, after a major water line split, which happened very early here this morning. Several streets were blocked off nearby the intersection over the last several hours, and a number of schedule adjustments have been announced as well. We have the latest information online at KVUE.com today. Discussions will continue next month and possibly several months afterward regarding the City of Emporia's new zoning regulations following a meeting of the Emporia Lyon County Metropolitan Area Planning Commission, which took place last night. And one of two current defendants in separate but allegedly connected shooting and home invasion robbery incidents last fall was convicted last night on two of the three counts against him. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team, sunny and hot with a high of 98 degrees this afternoon. Sunny and 100 for both Thursday and Friday. Sunny and 95 for Saturday. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Thank you, Chuck. 9 mile an hour west wind, mostly sunny sky, 89 degrees. Headlines: a service of Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Still offering convenient carryout and curbside services. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, 607 Merchant, where it's all about the meat. KBOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. All the information you need, live and local. Now back to the on-air chat.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
All right, welcome back. We're having a lot of conversations in here.
It's only five of us. We had three conversations going somehow.
We absolutely do. And Steve Blocker is with us, head track coach at Emporia State. Billy Ukrzenko. I just call you Billy. I've known you the whole time you're here, but I never knew you were anything but Billy. But and for people that want to know, that is Russian in origin.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's of course on the staff at the university, and then Mark Majors, who's an alum and an alum with a lot of background with Emporia State Track and a good supporter of Emporia State Track, I understand, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But
he's got to be the only non-scholarshiped ESU male athlete of the year in history of ESU, doesn't he?
Well, that's probably
true. In 1990, would that have been true? You didn't have a scholarship then?
I didn't. No, that would probably be right. Yeah.
Three-time male athlete of the year, which is just incredible, and got to make track guys feel good, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. We love that.
So let's talk about shoes. I mean, if you're going to run track and field, you got to have shoes.
You do.
And although I love that, there's a picture of who was it, Jim Thorpe, one time, and he'd won a race. I don't know if it was an Olympic race or one like that, and his shoes didn't match. So anyway, so tell us about how you handle shoes at Emporia State. I know you got a contract with Adidas, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're an Adidas school, I guess you could say, and so that really helps us out financially. You know, we can get things a little more affordable. You know, do we get things, you know, like the Power 5 schools? You know, certainly not. You know, we're not to that level, of course, but we are pretty appreciative of the guys that help us out at MB2, and they do a great job getting us what we need. But you know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, it's a running sport, but it's also, you know, with Mark, it's a throwing and a jumping sport, and it takes a lot of interesting shoe wear to get through the season. And I've seen a lot of things. Kids taping shoes together. We get a new pair of shoes for a student athlete, and he comes off running on an indoor track, which is, you know, a little tighter turns, banked in some facilities. And he walks over to me and he says, "Coach, I think I'm gonna need a new pair of shoes." I look down and his foot is blown right out of the thing. And I said, "Didn't we just get you these?" You know, he says, "Yeah, this is my first time wearing them."
And we're running so fast.
So I said, "Well," that's what I told him. I said, "Well, I guess you're putting power into the track, so that's a good thing." But we do have to be selective. We've got a very large team, and we kind of take a page from, you know, when I ran. You know, not everyone got shoes. That was just kind of the reality. And you hate to. It's based off how good you are. We try to get it as much of a reward system as you can, because we want the student athletes to understand that you must earn, you know, a lot like yourself, Mark Majors, probably everyone in this room, you know, you earn things in life. And, you know, as much as I would love to give five pairs of shoes to everybody, like I was telling you off air, you know, I scored points at my conference championship for Northern Iowa, and I was buying my own shoes at the time. And so my next year I was able to get some shoes. So we try to mirror that and do the best that we can to be loyal to our locker room within the confines of what we have budgetarily.
You know, I know in baseball, for example, University of Kansas, K-State, they don't give – not everybody gets a full ride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean – split it. What about track and field? KU's got a pretty good history.
Yeah.
What can they do for their athletes?
You know, so lots of things come into play. Obviously, you know, the financials, of course, are huge. But then you also have rules. You know, so at the Division I level, you can have on the men's side 12 or so, approximately 12 scholarships for men's track and cross country, 18 for the women. And, you know, here rules are a little different. But then really financials take over. More so than rules, I guess you would say. So what we have the financial wherewithal to do. But we do very similar to what a lot of Division I's do is that we partial it out, like you mentioned, those other spring sports. We partial out our scholarships, and then you can earn more as you go. So that's really what we do.
But at Division I, they're limited to 12 full rides, full scholarships.
Correct. Yep.
Which a full scholarship at Emporia State, what's the monetary value? Of course, there's a difference. We had Kent in here the other day talking about, and there's about three different classifications because there's in-state, which is the most affordable, and then there's the near states,
correct,
which is, what, 1.5 times in-state?
That's right.
Something like that?
Yep, that's right.
And then it's Katie bar the door, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, then it's out-of-state, you know. So,
and that's about three times. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah.
Used to be.
Yeah, you know, three times maybe a little high, maybe. I've never actually crunched the numbers on that because we go out of state so rarely for us in track and cross. But yeah, it gets up there. It's pretty pricey out of state.
How many kids are you spreading those? If you had 12 scholarships like a KU does, how many kids are you spreading that? Is that just track?
Track and field, indoor, outdoor, and then cross country, of course.
Okay,
and
so that includes all three.
Correct. Yep.
And you have how many kids are on a cross country team normally?
Typically on a cross country team, you know, Coach Stambrough's done an unbelievable job of really bringing in some bodies, and so we're hovering in the 30 to 40 men's range on the men's side only. We could have a whole other segment on the size of women's versus men's teams and things like that, but. But it's growing. Our entire program, men and women combined, last year I think we were around 142 when we started the year off, which is the largest it's ever been. I think when I came to Emporia State, fall of 2009, we were around 68 men and women combined for all six, technically, I guess, of the sports.
So evenly spread, the kids would get just less than a third of a scholarship?
Right, and of course we don't have 12.
Right, right.
I know you know that. So yeah, but yeah, that is accurate. Yeah,
We got you to tell us what that number was one time previous when you were here. But
yeah,
that's not important. What's important is you need more, and that it'll get spread, and it'll go to people that are deserving.
Right, right. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, we're always, you know, and again, going back to our conversations that we've had over the years is, you know, we try to balance hard work, guys like Mark Majors that come in for the right reasons. They love this environment, and they earn their way to improve. They earn that aid. But then we want to be grateful for what we do have, and we are. We're very appreciative of the support that we get. But the day and age, you know, it's competition, and you're constantly striving to get to the top, and that takes a lot of resources. So it's an ongoing battle.
So, Billy, what's it like going out and trying to sell the track and field program?
Incredible history, of course, as we all know, but it's challenging too. There's arguably more alumni in track and field and cross country than any other sport we have. But it's a different mentality too. It's tough. You know, you have folks that went through the program and haven't gotten anything, and then trying to get them reengaged. And we're so fortunate that incredible individuals such as Mark Majors here gives back, and is involved in a lot of different ways, and it mentors the athletes too. So it's challenging at times, but you know, it's a matter of reconnecting with these folks and building up the excitement of what we could do and how we've been competing the past years and everything that Blocker and Coach Blocker and Coach Stambrough are doing. I think it's easy to get on board and be a part of something special. We've got some exciting things here in a couple of years, too, to be a part of, too. So, and all this falls in line, everything that we're doing right now with the Together Forward campaign, one of the components that we're pillars that we're uplifting is athletics and to make an impact in these scholarships and help Coach Blocker and Coach Stambrough to further those opportunities for athletes and create opportunities for them. Bring in more Mark Majors that are not only going to have a great experience here at Emporia State, but to make an impact in the world with everything that Mark's doing. I mean, so many athletes are doing incredible things that started here.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about your background. We know you have a scholarship or scholarships. I don't think we have to ask you what motivated you to do it, but go ahead and tell us anyway.
Well, you know, my folks are both teachers, and Emporia was a kind of a net. They always felt at home here. They did continuing education here, and I'd tag along, would stay at the old Ramada and swim, you know, back when it was really a hot spot. But, you know, coming to Emporia State, I just love to compete, and the fact that Coach McLean and Coach Stambrough welcomed me with open arms and said, we'd love to have you as part of this team. We think you can come in and compete. We think you can come participate. And then to sit into the first meeting and you realize, hey, I'm part of a collegiate athletic team again. I was depressed after, you know, getting out of football. I'd played since I was, you know, a little rascal. I was still a little rascal compared to everybody else on the team. But the when you got into the team room with Coach Stambro back in, would have been, I guess, fall of 88, spring of 89, we really started having those meetings. And you look at the talent we had around us at the time. We had a lot of Hall of Famers, Roger Jennings, a multinational champion in the 1500. You know, the team had Lisa Ferris, a discus national champion, on at the time. Cecilia Gunn, a 10-time All-American here, was on the team with me, same age as me. Susan Stein is in the Hall of Fame, was running at the time. Our distance medley team that won at Drake twice was all in the room. It's a little daunting when you're just this little chubby kid out of Stillwell, you know, out here trying to throw the discus in this round ball on a chain that you'd never heard of in your life. But it made it really, really fun to try to go out and to Steve's point, you want to come in and you want to earn your opportunity. You know, we didn't have the resources a lot of my friends had growing up, and so you valued the hard work. You know, I was I've got my Teamster card from 1983 when I was a 13-year-old kid in Kansas City. I was a Teamster, and I was moving furniture and working warehouses, and I drove, you know, limited over the road when I was 18, 19. We had a family, we had a trucking business as well in Lawrence. So, you know, hard work was never something that was anything other than normal life for us. But it also taught us the value of a dollar, and it taught us that if you get the opportunity, take it. And that's what Emporia State gave me. They gave me an opportunity to come participate in something that I was grateful every day to be part of. And then when, you know, your folks provided the scholarship to the school that paid my tuition my senior year, John Visser and his family paid for my books my junior year. Like I said, I was the happiest guy on campus because I felt recognition for something that I had worked really, really hard to earn. And that has really continued as I've left Emporia State and participated here with the foundation.
You're a giver. You give back. You have a scholarship. And I know if you have a scholarship athlete at Emporia State, you hear from them. So you kind of give to live vicariously through some athletes that are up there now?
Absolutely. And you know, the direction, the thing I like about Emporia State, we can direct our scholarships. And so in the case of our family, we donate to both the general fund but also the athletic fund. And I've typically directed it towards women track and field athletes as the first focus. And, you know, my sister in our family, she got the looks and the brains and the athletic ability, but I threw the hammer. And so that's our kind of our standing joke every Christmas. But, you know, back in the 80s, there weren't, you know, Title IX was relatively new. There was a big disparity in terms of our ability to get really, really great women athletes as well. And it's just really stuck with me as an opportunity for us to make more of an impact typically. So that's where we personally direct our scholarship money. But it's great to hear from them. It's great when the kids reach out and tell you about what they're doing and where they're competing and you know, getting down and seeing the folks at the foundation and the track team. And the university has taken incredibly big strides to become a lot more outgoing with alumni, and I think it's really starting to pay off.
Yeah, and tip of the hat to you, Billy, and your guys and the coaches, because the kids write letters, and sometimes they're typed, sometimes they're in their handwriting. But I think everybody that gives a scholarship, they hear from somebody, and that's a real positive deal. Makes everybody feel good. We need to get a break in. We come back, I want to talk about the Olympics. Three Hornets have competed in the Olympics, and I want to get you guys' feelings. This Olympics, it looks like it's going to happen, but not without controversy. I mean, the old pandemic is not exactly under control in Japan. So we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to KVOE. We are live, and we are local.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot, to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis Construction will give you quality work.
Bruce Davis Construction's proud to be involved in recent jobs, including the addition of Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendo, and the David Trailer Zoo. Bruce Davis Construction. Call 342-5001. Bruce Davis Construction.
It's grown live and local. Don't miss the Emporia Farmers Market, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. KVOE, 1400 a.m. and 96.9 FM.
KVOE, 1400 a.m., 96.9 FM, live and local. It is time now for sports headlines being brought to you by Bruff Sports Bar and Grill. Featuring daily lunch specials, a menu full of fresh food, and your favorite beverages as well. Rump Sports Bar and Grill, 2640 West 18th. Now with KVOE Sports Headlines, here is Greg Ray.
Thank you, Scott, and good morning. The Detroit Tigers scored a run in the first inning and never gave up the lead on the way to a 4-3 win over the Kansas City Royals last night. The Royals tried to answer after the Tigers had taken a 3-0 lead, scoring two runs in the bottom of the third. The Tigers would add a single run in the sixth, so the Royals would score a run in the seventh, but it was not enough. The Royals and Tigers wrap up their three-game series this afternoon. Brady Singer on the mound for the Royals. First pitch set for 1:10. You can hear the game here on KVOE. The Emporia Junior American Legion baseball team split a doubleheader with the Topeka Senators last night. Senators won the first game 12-6. The Junior Legion won the second game 6-1. Junior Legion now 2-6 on the season tonight. The Senior Legion plays at Newton. The Emporia Reds number one U-17 playing in Topeka's Ken Berry League wrapped up their regular season on Monday, winning two games and finishing 14-0 to win the regular season championship. Up next, the postseason tournament. Kansas City Chiefs held their first day of mandatory minicamp yesterday. Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, offensive lineman Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and defensive end Frank Clark met with media yesterday. Day two of the camp today wraps up on Thursday. Emporia State football team holding their version of OTAs with players on campus and holding conditioning sessions. There's a rule change being discussed that has Coach Garen Higgins excited that would allow coaches to work with players beginning in July. That's a look at sports. I'm Greg Ray, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Greg. Sports Headlines, a service of Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, featuring daily lunch specials, a menu full of fresh food, and your favorite beverages as well. Bruff Sports Bar and Grill, 2640 West 18th. And don't forget their new Sunday hours, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. KBOE, 1400 a.m., 96.9 FM, live and local. Now back to the on-air chat.
All right, welcome back to the on-air chat. Steve and Aaron holding down the fort today. And we're joined by Billy Yu. from the university, Steve Blocker, the head coach of both men and women track on the track side at the university, and Mark Majors, a track alum and successful businessman, lives in Meriden now. We'll talk about your daughter before we're done too, because I understand she's a pretty good athlete. But I want to share that Three Hornets, John Cuck, who won a gold medal in the shot put in 1928, and then Archie San Romani, who I think was an important. I know the San Romani. I graduated with David San Romani, and I think his dad would have been Archie's son, and so he was an Emporia guy, and he competed the 1500 meters in 1936, and then Auer Feuerbach, who went twice. He went in both 72, where he got fifth place, and 76, where he got fourth place. And then the other Olympic connection, and I know we've had coaches, maybe not so much track coaches, maybe there have been track coaches have coached, and I know they have, international and Olympic teams. But Fran Welch was, in 1960, was, I don't know if he was the head women's coach, but he was a coach on the Olympic team, and the Olympic women did their training here at Emporia State.
Right, that's right, yeah. And I believe, I know Coach Stambro, he's shared that story, you know, numerous times. Wilma Rudolph was on our track. And
she was Wilma Rudolph before she was Wilma Rudolph, though, because if we'd have known, we'd have been there.
That's right.
I believe she stayed at Abigail Morse, too.
Did they?
That's where they housed.
Legends told by Coach Stambro.
That's right. And, you know, it's still – you kind of have to pause every now and again. I see some photographs from those era, from that era, you know, going all the way back, the history of Welch Stadium. And it's surreal to me to think, okay, here's a photograph. These athletes are practicing, training, doing the same stuff we're doing in the same spot that we're doing. You can still see the rock walls and things of that nature. And it's neat to me to you can feel that history in there.
Well, Steve, Mark touched on the point. Your kids get to compete a lot of times with Division I athletes, even in the open division, sometimes people that are out of school but yeah. are Olympic athletes. Mm-hmm. And how cool is that? I mean, track and field is something that's an individual sport, and you can measure yourself, and you can have a lot of satisfaction and maybe never win a damn medal.
That's actually dead right, really. And I think, you know, I look back at, you know, kind of my personal journey, I guess, you know, from running – or running track and field, that was what I loved about it. You know, you got out of it what you're going to put into it, even if it was for me a tenth of a second, or for a thrower, you know, a few centimeters. But you are right. When you go compete and you're at a place like Wichita State, and you're seeing some of these athletes that are aspiring Olympic caliber athletes, it can really put you out there. And we kind of have a cliche, you know, that pressure makes diamonds. And when the good athletes want that pressure, and they want to go out there and say, okay, how close can I get to this athlete? And that's what makes it really special. So it's fun. Elevate your game a little bit.
And Mark, of course, you shared with us, I can't remember, was it Drake where you won, or in Nebraska where you
Nebraska had... And we went. They didn't have Hammer at Drake and at Texas Relays back when I was in school. We went to Nebraska, KU, K-State, Wichita State quite a bit. And a lot of those would even come after graduation as I finally learned how to compete in my event. The Hammer is a progressive event, just like mm-hmm. jumps, especially in the vaults. It just takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of repetitions to really understand it. And at the end of the day, you understand that you really never understood it. Nebraska is one of my favorite places to compete. Nebraska and also at the old K-State Stadium. Indoors at Ahern was a lot of fun. Nebraska is the big one.
Okay, and back to Steve. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that you're going to host – national meets, when was it, 24? Is that the first one?
That's the first one, yep, 24.
So that's still a couple years away.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time, a little bit of prep time, but things are already underway, so it's exciting.
We had Weiss in and talking about what he learned going to the national meet with you. But you guys, Emporia State's capable, the press box is pretty good, and capable of doing a good job, because there wasn't a lot of stands, right, at the national this year.
Yeah, we were at up in Michigan. You know, seating was somewhat limited, and they've hosted previously, and so they've tried to make some adjustments in order to accommodate for that. But you know, I've been to a number of spots, obviously now for national championships, everywhere from Charlotte, IMG down in Florida, you know, Pueblo, Kingsville, Texas, and you know, I would put our facilities up against anyone, of course, And really, in all honesty, even the community, you know, the town, I think what we would provide, the gratitude, and that was something that we discussed from a committee standpoint, was, you know, that gratitude effect of the appreciation of the community and the support of the community when these athletes and coaches come, that we're going to put our best face forward. So I'm pretty confident that we'll do that.
What time of year are the Nationals?
Memorial Day weekend is typically when it'll fall, so just prior to the Unbound race. I think the rule states something, you know, the last full weekend in May, I think, is when it falls, but it's always Memorial Day
weekend. You need to coordinate with those guys, huh?
With the Unbound guys.
Yeah. We don't want both of them the same weekend.
I think Unbound will be the weekend after us, so
yeah,
we'll be gone. So we'll be clear.
And when you host in 26, mm-hmm. Emporia State will be the Division II school that has hosted the most national meets, I think.
Yeah.
At least according to Don Weiss, and he usually knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's all right, you know, and I think he is right. I know that'll be five times total. So it'd be good that we've hosted.
Mark, what would it have meant to get a compete at home?
There was no place like home, even when we competed there. It would have been unbelievable. you know, the town of Emporia has gotten, you know, so ingrained in the people that compete here. You know, even if you're not from here, you never lose, you know, that piece of you that is Emporia. And it always feels like home when you come back. And to be able to have done that in front of my own home stands with the, you know, the people able to travel. We went to Texas for nationals. It would have been fantastic.
Do they throw the hammer in the shot put ring? Or
it's same size, same 7 foot ring.
But is it in the stadium or?
It's no.
They put you out in the pasture somewhere.
We're over there by the Trussler Complex Road. You know, we're off of Highland on that curve. They make us drag it all down there by ourselves, and we're the pariahs. You know, they have to walk through the javelin sector, and they're throwing those at us as we walk by. You got to dodge it, but you know that's the life of a hammer thrower.
We're feeling pretty sorry for you.
It's uphill both ways.
Still
happens to this day. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So your daughter's 16, right?
She's 16. Yep.
I understand she's got some talent, and maybe too much talent to decide what event to.
Well, she is. You know, she's got the right build for she's long and she's lean and she's strong. So I think, you know, my goal is, without being a pushy father, is going to be trying to find ways for her to really find that confidence in herself. And, you know, Steve, to his credit, you know, I got to tell you, you are masterful, as is, again, a McLean and a Sambro, of getting especially these young women to see that they can compete and do their thing. So my push is to get her to focus on discus and javelin.
So. Even though she is fairly fleet of foot?
She is quick. Yeah, she's quick. I can't catch her anymore. When I was losing weight a couple of years ago, we'd jog and she'd, you know, push me into the grass as we'd run by, and I could never catch her. So I mean, she survived the early teen years because I was slow.
Steve, what are the attributes of a good thrower? I mean, they always seem to be big,
yeah.
But they also need to have a little agility and a pretty good legs, huh?
Yeah, very true. You know, and not to, you know, start the recruiting process or anything from an NCAA standpoint, of course. But any thrower that's out for a jog, to me, that equates to heptathlon. But anyway, you know, I don't know too many throwers that jog. No, but yeah, you're right. You know, the agility, particularly in all events, of course. But when you're looking at the hammer, because it is rotational, and so most people spin around three or four times, we already start to get dizzy. Let alone spin around with an implement in your hand at a high velocity, and then release it with some form of accuracy. So you're moving awful fast, and you're spinning. So it's a pretty impressive thing.
Mark,
sir.
So if your daughter, it sounds like your daughter might the decathlon. It wouldn't be decathlon. It'd be what, heptathlon.
Heptathlon.
That would be. Yeah.
But is that a possibility?
I'm not even looking at Steve because I know that his eyebrows will be raising. You know, nodding. You know, subtly.
Yeah, let's don't get in trouble here.
But you know, and he's right. The breed of throwers you see now. You know, you look at Alyssa. You look at Travis. Mm-hmm. The kids that are here now. They're lean, they're powerful, they're quick, and they're smart. You know, and because the preparation anymore, it's a different event, and all the events have gotten different, and we've learned so much even in the last 20 years, and the advent of video and modeling. It's exciting to see what's going to happen here, even at the school with the kids that are coming in. The level of competition is so high in the MIAA. That the fact that we're competing with the number of scholarships that we've got is a testament to the fact that we've got kids that come in and work harder than anybody else in the conference. And we've got coaches that give more of themselves than anybody else in the conference. And we just need to find ways for the alumni, especially, to find new ways to engage in this more challenging time of raising money.
Yeah. You want the final word, Billy?
Absolutely. There's a lot of ways to make an impact. We can set up term funds. We can set up endowed funds. There's a lot of resources at the foundation. We work with John Griffin as well to plan out estate plans, a lot of different ways to set things up and make an impact in the future of Emporia State and impact a student-athlete's life as well. And final word in terms of a plug for athletics, a lot of different things that we do is the athletic auction is coming up here in August as well. So August 19th is a Thursday. It's been a while since we've had an auction. It seems like a couple years now, considering what last year was. And then we'll have a golf tournament the day after as well. So another way to make an impact with different events and just being there and supporting the athletes. It's a great night, and we're excited to have it. It's a little bit of a change to have it in August, but it'll be a good time.
Billy, thanks for being with us. Mark Majors, track alum and outstanding or successful businessman and a big supporter of ESU's track team. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to meet you. And Steve, always good to see you.
Likewise.
So it's going to wrap it up. Aaron?
Thanks for listening to the On Air Chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 342-5001. The Talk of Emporia is next here on KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
96.9 FM, AM.